Welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, and we are live at Katerina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road here in Chicago, recording every Tuesday night from 6 to 8, and the crowd is filing in. They're still filing in. Yes, there you go. It's okay to make sound. It's okay to make noise. It's okay to keep drinking and eating and having a good time, because that's what jazz is all about. Of course, this show is produced by Chicago Jazz Magazine and WDCB Radio. And I am excited to have on the show Scott Holman. How are you, Scott?
Great, Jeff. Great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming down. I've known Scott for many, many years, and we go back to when you used to run the jam session at the Chambers. And, God, I think that was like 94, 95?
I think it might have started around 92.
92? I remember when I came back from school, that was like the first jam session I ever went to, and everybody was actually pretty nice. They actually let me sit in.
As I remember, you sounded great then.
But I know that you've been on the scene for a long time, and I want to talk about this new CD that you have out because of not only the players and the music that's on it, but also the great cause that it's going for, Ode. But let's get a little bit of your background first. I know you as a piano player, and you're playing with quartets and trios and everything. But how did you get started? You originally from Chicago?
From Pittsburgh originally.
Okay.
And, started in rock bands and all that stuff. Played trumpet in the band and guitar in rock bands and played piano. I was playing gospel music on piano. A lot of churches doing like Edward Hopkins, Oh Happy Day, and that type of.
Yeah.
And then went to Miami and jumped into the scene there.
So you went to Miami to school, or you just went to
Miami?
Yeah,
I went to the University of Miami, but Miami Beach was hopping then, so I quit school for various reasons, started playing for a living. And then I actually went back and started studying from Wally Cirillo, who was a fine jazz pianist. He recorded with Mingus on a couple CDs.
So you started studying with him, and then how did you make your way up to Chicago?
Well, I was in the thick of it on Miami Beach, which was more of a commercial bent. And my wife's family's from Chicago. And Ira Sullivan, who's a friend of mine who I met down there, he was always...
He lives down there, right?
Yeah.
And then he comes
and
up
he
here.
He was always coming up here. So, I was interested in... so we ended up here in 90. And the Chambers, where I met you, was a good way for me to get my feet wet in the scene here.
Yeah. I mean, you were running a jam session that, man, I can remember some of the people that used to come to that session. And it's in Niles.
Yeah.
I mean, who would go to a jam session in Niles?
I know.
And I can remember seeing Eric Alexander would be there.
Richie Cole.
Ira, yep.
Von Freeman. We had Jody Christian would sat in. You know, like I'd take some nights off and we got Jody and we got all the guys.
Yeah. I mean, and of course John Bainey has a jam session happening up there now.
Right.
But I remember that place back in the 90s, it was supposed to close about 2 o'clock in the morning, but a lot of times it just kept going.
Right.
I think
the door would get locked. And
right, and then it would just keep jamming in there and stuff. So you're running different groups, and you're getting your feet wet. Now, I know you started playing a lot with Rusty Jones.
Right.
And he was one of
the
your...
The great Rusty Jones, yes.
He's, right. And I know you have a couple of recordings with him on drums, don't you?
Don't Wake the Kids was my first Chicago recording, and that was with Rusty and Pavel Yarzepski.
Okay.
Right. And we were, I wrote that while we were at the Chambers. I wrote it around most of the tunes around 94, 95, were recorded in 96.
Okay. And so from that, you just kept going and going. And now you have this new project. And I don't know if it's new. I mean, I mean, the recording's new, but I don't know if the concept is new to you. I think you might have even been doing some stuff with this in the past.
What happened was, so I was fortunate to record with Paul Werdigo, and we did an album together, and I started another one with Paul and John Mulder, the fine Chicago guitarist.
And Paul Werdigo is the best known for traveling with Pat Metheny and playing with Pat Metheny and winning 7 Grammy Awards and everything. And then John Mulder is... incredible guitar player, plays a lot with Paul and you and travels all over.
So we started a trio project, and in the middle of it, I decided I was going to donate the profits to the homeless. And then the product was pretty esoteric, and I realized that if I really wanted to do something that had an impact, I should make it a little more accessible. Mm-hmm. So we actually then discontinued what we were working on, started something totally new.
Oh, so you were like in the project?
Yeah, I was like in the middle and then just switched gears and started something different. It was a straight ahead organ guitar drum trio, drum CD, and we went to something that used all my friends that at mm-hmm. the time, and I had people laying down their tracks one at a time: Mark Colby, Ira Sullivan, Chris Madsen, Paul's bass player at the time, a wonderful bassist, Brian Peters. Frank Catalano. Everybody was really good. Paul's wife and daughter sing on it. I got everybody.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's just everybody's best effort. John Mulder, of course, is part of that mm-hmm. too. And because we had to wait for everybody's availability, it took almost 2.5 years, 3 years to,
trying to get everybody's schedules together and lay the tracks down and all
exactly.
that. Well, let's talk about, I'm a musician, and everybody plays gigs. Pretty much, I think the last thing that anybody is interested in doing is donating the money from a project or from profits or from anything to the homeless, because they're, everybody's musicians. It's not like everybody's getting rich here.
Well, they say timing is everything in life, and in the last few years, all you had to do was open your eyes and something would upset you about what you'd see around, mm-hmm. and it kind of made its mark in my psyche.
So that's really the essence of why you got this started, is because you saw the need and you're actually doing something about it. Was there something...
The need is great.
Was there something in your neighborhood, or was there anybody, or just driving around, just seeing it?
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
So you're from all the proceeds from Ode, you're donating the profits.
100%.
And you and I were talking before the show, and you were telling me about how... you're taking the 100% profits that you're making, the money that you're making, and donating to the homeless, but you're also offering different nonprofits the ability to you'll donate the CDs to them, and then they can sell it and make money from
exactly.
it as well.
And I believe in capitalism, and capitalism is product-oriented, and so my idea was have a product, put it in people's hands, and see if they can make money with it. So the beauty of it being on my own label is I'm free to wheel and deal and make any kind of a business. Any idea anybody has about creating a business model for it for their own use, for as long as the money goes to some good cause, I'm interested in hearing about it.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around how you... You couldn't have just been sitting around going, hey, I'm going to spend all my time and energy putting a record together and doing this. I mean, you must have had a lot of help from the guys on the album. I mean, thinking of the tunes, putting things together. Obviously, I think you wrote a lot of them. But, putting this whole project together, all these guys on the album must be behind it as well. I imagine the same cause, right?
Yeah. Nobody would be on it if their heart wasn't into the cause, sure.
So... Why don't we take a listen to one of the tunes off of this? Now, are these all originals, your originals?
They're all originals on the
tune. Okay. Are they all your originals?
Yeah.
Okay. So this first one we're going to hear is Make a Straight Way.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So I'm religious-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And a quote from the Bible is John the Baptist is saying, prepare a straight path. And at one time our society... had a different perspective and I believe a way to operate, and I think we're out of touch with the path that we used to take, and I think our laws, lobbyists, and everything is forgetting about A rising tide lifts all boats,
right,
and the virtuous cycle, and all those things that are really practical, they're also moral. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things happening that our system would function better if we'd go back to some of the old-fashioned ways of operating.
Yeah.
That's the message. It's, you know.
Well, let's take a listen here. This is off of Ode, Scott Holman, and Make a Straight Way here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, and ChicagoJazz.com.
On the TV advertising in the city, enterprising in a deep dream, I heard a voice say, make a straight way, make a straight way.
Make a straight way. Scott, does this song have any lyrics?
Not really, man. Anybody that reads the newspaper nowadays can put lyrics to this song. I brought a newspaper. Glance over it, see if some headlines catch your eye.
Here's one that bothers me right away. Advertisers targeting children ages 5 to 12.
One. Government bails out banks. Banks refuse to bail out consumers.
Scott, here's another one that bothers me. Public land off limits to homeless. See, they'd rather have them on the streets begging than growing their own food.
Thank you.
All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Reveal, live at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road. We've got our live audience at the bar enjoying some food and drinks. And we're here with Scott Holman. Now, we were just talking while that tune was on. That was you and Ira Sullivan discussing, talking on that. Tell me a little bit about, because we were talking about this off the air, but I think it's really interesting how that conversation came about. I love that you picked up a newspaper.
Right. And I I wanted the lyrics to be current events is all you need to be aware of to want to write a song.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this CD is going towards a cause that the current events are causing.
Right. Every song on there is in some way connected to and touching the needs that are created by what's happening in our...
And Ira Sullivan's voice is a very distinct... I love that, right on that album. That's perfect. Now, and also Paul Wertico's wife and daughter and
my
and your mom
and my niece and nephew are all the we call them the Crumblehead Singers. That's the name of the record label, Crumblehead Records.
Crumblehead Records. Now, we were talking a little bit about, and by the way, folks, so we should tell you, too, that you can visit ScottEarlHolman.com, details at ScottEarlHolman.com, and they can find information about this recording.
And on iTunes, it's on iTunes.
And on iTunes as well. And also, any upcoming recordings, as we were talking off the air, you've got another recording coming out. That's going to be probably, late October, November, and it's going to
exactly.
be a Christmas album?
A Christmas CD with all the same characters, plus Marlene Rosenberg, Kelly Sill, Brian Sandstrom will also be on that. A wonderful young trumpet player, Barrett Harmon, Chris Madsen again, Mark Colby, and Ira and I. We're going to utilize Ira's great voice. If you enjoyed that speaking voice, he's going to make a great shepherd on the...
Oh, you're going to have him on as a shepherd.
As a shepherd on a Christmas CD.
So this isn't going to be your Vince Guaraldi Christmas album, huh?
Right, exactly.
So that's going to be out later in the fall.
Right, I'd say end of October it should be in our hands.
End of October.
Right.
What else do you have coming up that people can maybe come and visit you or see you perform live, or is there a good place for you?
I play solo at the Chicago Chop House on Ontario. It's right across from the Rock and McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there Monday through Friday, 5 to 8.
And, of course, they can get more details at ScottEarlHolman.com because I know you right now... you don't have anything popping up with this group, but who knows in the future. You might have a couple of different things pop up in the fall.
Right, play a lot of weekend things here and there.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we hear one more tune off of this recording? And I think we're going to hear I'm Not a Good Man.
Sounds good.
And thanks for coming in, man.
Oh, thanks for that. And let me say how many people ask me if I know about ChicagoJazz.com. People from around the country say what a great program you have going, so thanks for having me.
Well, thanks Scott. So let's take a listen to one more tune from Scott Holman here on Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Not a Good Man. Of course, you can pick that up on, it's on his new release Ode, and all of the proceeds are going towards helping the homeless. And if you want to get involved, visit ScottEarlHolman.com here on Chicago Jazz Revealed.
Not a good man, 'cause if I was, you'd see me doing what a good man does. Yeah, thank you. I hope I'm not. I don't need more trouble than a good man's got. A rich man, it costs a lot, much more money than this man's got.
Support for WDCB and Chicago Jazz Revealed comes from the University of Chicago Presents, announcing its new series, Jazz at the Logan, at the Rava and David Logan Center for the Arts in Hyde Park. The season opens on October 25th with The Bad Plus and continues with Annette Cohen, Dick Hyman, Bill Charlop, and others. Single ticket and subscription information at chicagopresents.u, chicago.edu. Welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, and we are live here at Katarina's. We tape the show here every week on Tuesdays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. More information at katarinas.com or chicagojazz.com. The show is produced by Chicago Jazz Magazine and WDCB 90.9 FM Radio. I'm here today. We're going to hang out with Gina Knight.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm glad you made it in.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
I'm glad you made it in. I've checked out your videos online that you have with your drum lessons girl. And, of course, I've seen the Gina Knight Orchestra. Saying that right? The Gina Knight Orchestra.
You got it.
I know you guys have played. Actually, my wife and I were just talking that we came out to swing dance one time. I was not a very good swing dancer. I was in time, but my feet were not coordinating with everybody else.
A drummer? No.
I tend to think that they were all wrong, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But we saw your band orchestra play at Willowbrook.
That's great.
Several years ago.
Cool place, too, isn't it?
And yeah, it is. I mean, that place takes you back to, like, watching Count Basie band,
right.
You know,
it's
back
very
in
nostalgic.
The 40s, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how it's set up. Just, you know, it's before amplification, you know, mm-hmm. even just how it's just such a great place.
So. It is. Well, and so I saw your orchestra there, and I know we've talked on the phone. I've never met you in person, so it's a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure's online.
And, well, thank you. You come on the show anytime, Alan. She's in business.
What are you doing next week?
Yeah, right. Well, Frank Catalano is going to be my new host, apparently, after
right.
I just had him on the last segment. So.
Right.
But I thought it would be great to have you come in, because I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, you are a well-respected musician, band leader, and you're a drummer.
Thank you, yes.
And I thought that was only... Myself was the only other drummer in town that ran some groups.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a little unique to be talking to another drummer right now. It's been great. I have a lot of fun playing. I love, you know, so many different types of music, and very fortunate. And coming from you, you know, thanks for digging my videos.
Oh, I'm glad. I came up when I came back from school and I started playing. I taught private lessons, and you know, I've seen a lot of different videos online. I've watched a lot of different instructional things, obviously, just out of the nature of doing that. And I really dug what you were talking about.
Oh, thanks.
So before we get into the whole lesson thing, I wanted to get your background, because I know that probably a lot of our listeners have maybe even danced to your orchestra, have seen your name. But I mean, how do you go from did you grow up in Chicago?
I grew up in Berwyn.
Berwyn.
Yeah, I'm a Berwyn girl, and I actually started on classical piano when I was five, and kind of fell into drumming one day at school. My band director, the kid who played snare drum was absent from school.
Okay.
So he threw a pair of sticks at me and said, "Go on, kid, you can do it." You know, so it was a march, you know. And he said, "But I don't play drums, you know." And he said, "Just follow along, you'll be fine, you know." So I just played one of those, you know, and I really loved it. And I ended up getting a drum set for Christmas, and that was the whole evolution of that. And, you know, we were just talking, you know, I was overhearing Frank Catalano's interview. And this whole idea of, you know, older musicians giving back to younger musicians and kind of leading the way. And I was right in there with that. I had a very wonderful band director who would take me on gigs with him. And my first real gig after playing drum set for a year or two, Berwyn, you know, was in a polka band.
Polka band.
Yeah.
What year was this? I mean, like, how old were you?
I was 12.
And so now you're out playing gigs and you're 12.
Yeah, it was great. And so, yeah, so that was my first official gig. I remember making $35, you know, with this polka band. It was big money back then.
I don't think the money's probably hasn't changed, unfortunately.
But I'm bummed, unfortunately. But, and then he had, like a trio gig. He was a great saxophone player and he would play with the Johnny Gabor trio The Flame in Countryside. So, again, I was 12 and he invited my mom and I out, and I remember him calling me up to stage, on the stage, and the drummer was just such a sweetheart of a guy. He was lefty, and he rearranged the whole drum set for me to sit in on about 5 tunes, and it just felt great, you know.
Yeah.
And at that time, I'd been listening to Dave Brubeck a lot.
Sure.
And Joe Morello was my first jazz
legend.
Influence.
Sure.
You know, I just loved his feel. And I think listening to music, you know, jazz that early, it kind of seeped into my subconscious. Mm-hmm. And I just really enjoyed it. And after playing at the Flame a couple times, I honestly loved the sound of the applause. And so that kind of gave me the bug to, I really enjoy performing, you know. So that's kind of how it all evolved. But drums really found me, you know,
yeah.
in a very nice way. So.
Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting, though, too, because, I mean, did you keep playing piano in addition while you were playing drums?
A little bit, but honestly, it petered out. I had so much more passion for the drum set. Mm-hmm. But I was so grateful for my experience playing classical piano because it gave me a lot of discipline and it also taught me how to read music. So since I could read, then I got started being hired for pit orchestras.
Sure, I was going to ask you if you ended up playing like xylophone, marimba,
sure.
all the percussion instruments,
yes,
mallet instruments.
All the toys,
and sure.
right, a little of that. And then I just really concentrated on set because that what was most fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I enjoyed playing all of that and just everything, you know, just kind of led to the next
yeah.
gig, I guess. But it was a nice network of people. And
so you're sitting in, you're playing at the Flame. And I know Johnny Gabor.
He's a great
guy.
Oh, my God. What
he's
a legend.
Great.
Yeah, local
oh.
legend.
And so you're sitting in and you're playing. I mean, you're 12,
yeah,
right? You're 12,
yeah.
13.
Right.
Did you go to college after that, or did you do anything?
Well, actually, when I was in high school, just kind of getting back to the how I got into the swing band sort of thing. When I was 15, I entered a drum set competition, and I ended up winning, actually. And that gave me a great boost of confidence. So then I went to the Willowbrook swing dancing, and I asked the swing band on stage if I could sit in, and they said no.
You know? Oh, jeez.
So, where's the trombone player?
I don't think so.
Right. So then I came the next week, and I asked again. And they said, okay, maybe, you know, the third set, you know,
yeah.
we'll give you a chance. And then they didn't have time. So then the next week I came back. And then finally in the third set, they did give me a chance. And then I ended up getting that gig 6 months later because the drummer moved to Sweden. So
6 months later, then now you're playing drums
right.
with the band
so
that
throughout
wouldn't
high
let you
school,
sit in.
Yeah. yeah so
exactly.
I was playing like 8-10 dates a month with a local swing band, and that was great.
That's amazing, and that's during high school.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just really fortunate to get a lot of, you know, experience.
Sure,
you know, during
sure.
those years. You know.
You know, when you listen to some of your solos and some of your playing, I mean, I hear Gene Krupa,
yeah.
I hear Louis Belson, I hear
yeah.
you know, but some Buddy Rich. I mean, were those main
oh,
influences?
Thank you. Gosh, what a compliment. They influenced me, but I don't feel like I would ever get to that level. But yes, I really, listening again to so much early jazz and big band music, huge influence on
yeah.
me, you know. So.
Well, what, you know, when you, so you're doing that during high school, and then how did you go from that into running your own band?
Well, again,
was it just a natural progression?
Yeah, you know, a lot of things that I do, they seem entrepreneurial, but a lot of these ideas are presented to me. I actually, after I left that swing band, I was 19, and I started working with this Chicago cat
yeah.
named Dakota. He was a singer.
Oh, Dakota, sure. He
okay.
still is a singer.
Yeah, he still
he
is.
He wasn't a singer. He still is. Okay.
Yeah, right. He was back then. He is now. I think he's in Vegas now. But so I was talking with with his manager, and he said, Gina, I need a 9-piece band because we're playing, we're opening up for Dennis Quaid and the Sharks at Joe's on Wheat Street next week. And I'm like, woo, woo, woo. You know, so and the way he said it to me was, I felt like, I got to make this happen, you know.
Right.
But I never put a band together, you know, but I did have a shoebox full of a lot of musicians' cards that I had run into, you know, throughout the years, you know. And I kind of laid out the people that I thought would assemble and make a great band. And one of the things I feel like I do have a good ear for talent and good attitudes, you know, and people that would gel well, you know. So I put that together for that gig. And that was a really great, fun gig, and everything worked out great. And then after
that... Well,
that
had to happen really fast. I mean, did you have charts? Did you have...
Yeah.
Oh, he's got charts. So you got the
group together. Right, I just needed to call it. Yeah,
I was envisioning you having to write all these charts, too, and put everything together. I was like, oh, wow.
I'm not a miracle worker. No, but... it was just calling the guys, you know. And but that gave me the confidence to do it. So then after I put that band together for him, then I thought... maybe I could put my own thing together. You know? So that's kind of how it all worked.
Well,
you know?
So before we get farther into that, we have a track, right?
Okay.
We can listen to a track.
Sounds
now, what tune do you want to hear off of your?
This tune is called Fat Cat.
Fat Cat. And what's the name of the album?
This is off the You Say album, Gina Knight Orchestra.
And where can people find that?
They can find it at just my website, gkdrums.com.
Okay. Well, let's take a listen to Fat Cat here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, and chicagojazz.com. Irving Park Road. Of course, we record the show live in front of an audience. We've got them streaming in now. There they are. Droves.
Such a beautiful place, too. I love this place.
It is. It is. And it's really nice because, you know, we put the show together so that people can kind of develop a relationship between the artists and the jazz fans and the jazz enthusiasts.
Such a cool idea.
Well, I think we're achieving that now because I think you've got a great story, and now we've moved up in your story.
Thanks.
My segue right in, right?
I guess I got a lot to say.
Well, that's good. That's if you didn't, that would be tough radio.
So
I'm glad you had a lot to say.
Yeah.
So we've got you, and we just listened to a track, Fat Cat, off of your release. So now you're running a band, and you're doing all of this,
and
you're kind of moving up the ranks, because I know that you started getting more and more gigs and private gigs, too,
assume. Thanks. Yep. And it was a very nice happening through this band. I met a great man who owns a wonderful studio called Blue Flash Studio. And we recorded the album there, and he did such a great job, and I just developed a great friendship with him. And if anybody is into, you know, amps and preamps and compressors and analog gear, if there's any gearheads out here, definitely go to blueflashstudio.com, because he's got incredible gear. And so I've just been trying to do some booking there and get...
Well, you're also doing some producing there, too, right? Because, I mean, we talked as you were putting the band together in the last segment. When you were talking about that, you mentioned that you thought you had a pretty good ear for music and talent and stuff. So it just kind of lends its way into you helping out in a studio, I would imagine.
Right, and it was just kind of a natural progression, just because I've recorded there, and I know, you know, a little bit of the ropes there. I can help, you know, any of my friends, you know, maybe just expedite the, you know, the process, or get some musicians to fill in, you know. And so, yeah, it's great. It's one of those places. I mean, every musician I've talked to, you know, they have their favorite studio, you know. But this Blue Flash is just a place where kind of the sun and the moon and the stars align. I mean, he's got great equipment, extraordinary engineers, and then this magnificent live room. I mean, it's like recording in a church. He's got all these wooden vaulted ceilings.
Yeah.
The acoustics are great. And, you know, being a drummer yourself, Mike, I mean, it's so important to, when you record, you have to make eye contact, and you want to know, you know, for those hits and everything. The live room is so big that he can record like a 30-piece orchestra all in the same room without, you know, isolating. So, yeah, so that's my little plug for that studio. Blueflashstudio.com.
It's more than a plug, though, because I think you believe in what's going on there. Otherwise, you wouldn't be producing
music
there.
Yes.
But then also with your orchestra, I mean, I was reading through your bios and things like that. I mean, you've played some fairly larger shows too, right?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, really, we've done, you know, like Summer Dance and Fitzgerald's and a couple of different, you know, great rooms around Chicago and major corporate events. And it's been a blast. We don't play as often these days because I've joined a couple other, you know, different mm-hmm. projects and kind of branching out.
But it's as also got to be hard to have that large of an ensemble working on a regular basis, too.
A little
right?
bit. I mean, yeah, as far as being able to pay the guys what I want to. Right. You know, that's the only challenge. But we do have a great gig coming up.
Well,
may I, Mike?
I'm glad you asked me if I would ask you. All right, go ahead.
Help me to help you. Well, we have a special event coming up at the Prairie Center for the Arts in Schaumburg, and this is going to be taking place on Saturday, September 21st, and it's their annual fundraiser for the arts, and tickets are $55 in advance and $65 at the door, 50% of which is a tax-deductible donation. And the ticket price includes food from a dozen terrific restaurants in and around Schaumburg, live music on four stages, and dancing to the Gina Ned Orchestra.
That's it.
You
that's
can trip, it. Your, trip your way on in.
So that's September 21st. That right. Prairie Center for the Performing Arts, that's a great space.
Oh, I love them. Yeah, they're fantastic, doing great things. And if anyone wants ticket info, they can visit prairiecenter.org, or they can call at 847-895-3600.
Okay, so for more information, you can visit that website.
Yeah.
So with that, you're going to have your whole group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be all of us. All of us, seven piece, and got Stacy McMichael on bass.
Oh, Stacy, we love Stacy. Yep.
And yeah, a lot of great players for this particular gig. So.
Okay.
It's kind of a family thing. You know, over the years, you know, I just love seeing them. You know.
Yeah. So. Well, and what else? Now you were telling me you're also playing with some other projects. You're playing with the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
B-L-O-O-Z-E.
You got it right. Right.
Copyright infringement is not happening. So it's B-L-O-O-Z-E.
You're so right on about that, Mike. That is so much fun. It's an 11-piece band, and it's certainly earning me some calluses on the fingers.
Oh, I bet.
Because it's really intense playing, you know, and it's kind of like a Vegas show, you know. It's mm-hmm. just moves, boom, 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 and I love it. I've been playing 2 months with them, so
oh, great.
I've done about, you know, 10 shows so far. So, yeah.
Well, before we get a little too far along, because I want to talk about the Drum Lessons Girl.
Okay.
But let's hear one more track from you.
All right.
With the new CD, or it's not the new CD, but when did it come
the
out?
The CD.
Yeah. The CD.
The one and the only. About 6 years ago.
What? Just 6 years ago. It just came out.
Yeah, just.
What track do you
like
want?
Like last week. This is actually called Wild Saxophone, and okay. It's going to feature Vince Clark on vocals.
Okay, great. Let's take a listen here on WDCB 90.9 FM, Chicago Jazz Reveal. And we're here with Gina Knight. See, this
Hi.
Is fun. I told you this was going to be fun.
I'm having a blast.
Good.
And thank you so much for having me, by the way.
I'm glad you could do it. So we're back here with Gina Knight. And not only is she a band leader of the Gina Knight Orchestra and performing with the Blues Brothers, B-L-O-O-Z-E. I love just doing that.
Right.
Just, you know, so they don't – I have to, you know – I want to make sure that they don't think you're actually playing with Dan Aykroyd, because
right.
then Dan Aykroyd will call me,
sure,
and then I'll have a situation. I don't want
those
situations.
Yeah, we don't want a situation, right?
So Gina's performing with the Blues Brothers, so you can find her at GK Music.
Actually, it's GK Drums.
GKDrums.com. So
yeah,
more
I put all
details
my shows
at GKDrums.com.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you finally about this Drum Lessons Girl. And I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this beautiful packaging on this Drum Lessons Girl.
Thank you so
two
much.
two DVD set. And I know I saw some of this online as well, right?
Right.
So this is basically somebody can pick this up and you're going to teach them drums.
Yeah, in a nutshell, yeah. It started out as a winter project last year. And again, it was presented to me by a good friend of mine, John Barry, who owns a very successful events company, Star Events.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know John.
Do you?
He's great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I met him years and years ago.
Okay.
I don't. I haven't seen him in a while,
Another
but he's a great
drummer.
Guy. Is he a drummer?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he sent me a message and he said, you know, there's so many men teaching lessons online, and, you know, be unique to kind of have a gal do that, and kind of planted the seed. And I just went in. Of course, I had access to Blue Flash Studio, so I went in there, and I love teaching, and I taught some years ago, but I haven't had any private students lately, so I just threw up a camera and pretended that, you know, that was my student, and started with a few lessons and threw them up on YouTube, and that grew into about 45 YouTube videos, and basically it's just generally talking about different types of grooves, different types of styles, and it's been very fulfilling, and I think the person that has learned the most through this is me, because you know, when you live and breathe something and then you go to teach it, you still have to do a little research, because when you're going to present information, you know, you need to do it succinctly, you know, and that was a big challenge for me, and I really love it, and it's very satisfying, because I'll get, like, you know, emails in Portuguese saying, I love your samba. You know? So it's cool.
So you just have, you have them on YouTube, but people can buy the full set as well, so you just have samples up on
YouTube?
Yes,
I have a bunch of samples, tons of videos on there, and then that kind of grew into a three-hour DVD that pretty much takes any drummer from, you know, learning how to hold the drumsticks to learning how to read drum notation into, you know, there's like 55 rock beats on there, a bunch of jazz grooves on there, Latin stuff, 75 drum fills, you know, it's just full of information, and all of the notation is included in there.
You know, I'm just looking over this, and easy to understand guide for reading music.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember when I first took some lessons on drums.
Yeah.
And I wasn't lucky enough to start when I was 12, like you. I wanted to play drums, but my parents would not let me play drums, I had to play violin, piano, trumpet, cornet.
You had to work your way there, right.
And finally, they just got me a drum set when I was a freshman in high school, and then it stuck.
Sure, sure.
But I can remember taking lessons before I found the right guy, and basically it was like you'd sit down at this guy's house, he'd show you like a Led Zeppelin drum beat, you'd play it for a while, he'd you know, read a book, and then he'd say, okay, that's cool, just leave the money over there, and I would leave. And I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Right.
You know, I didn't really get any instruction until I really got a good teacher. And it seems like to me, the first thing I'm seeing on this is an easy-to-understand guide for reading music. That's the key.
Thank you. Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, you have to really know how to read music as a drummer.
Yeah, and I mean, not everybody, I guess, has to, but my thing with this, my angle, was that so many young drummers, I think, fall into a rut of just playing the type of music that they like. You know, they'll only play hard rock or heavy metal or punk or whatever it is. And my goal with this was just to try to help drummers be more well-rounded and get them working, you know. And I think if you know how to read music, you know, you can make a lot more money sometimes, you know, if that's the thing.
Yeah,
you know?
And it also gives you a lot more opportunities.
Sure, it makes you more marketable, and yeah. So, I mean, not like there's so many brilliant drummers that don't read.
Sure.
You know, I don't think Buddy Rich read. Well, but getting back to the DVD,
right.
you can pick it up at gkdrums.com.
Well, no, but, you know, looking over this, I mean, you have lessons on the basic drum strokes. You have five favorite rudiments. This is a nice, just looking over it, and I've seen some of the videos, it's a nice way that if you're getting introduced to the drums, if you are interested in it but you're not sure, you can go online, you can watch some of this and kind of pick up some techniques and tips and see if it's for you.
Yeah, sure.
Or you can visit GK
Drums.
Drums. I always want to say music. GK Drums.
How can
drums.
You forget drums, Mike?
I know.
No, I'm kidding.
GK Drums. It's because it's too easy.
Right,
see,
right.
For me, it's too easy.
That's right.
I screw up the very easy things.
No, you're fine.
So gkdrums.com.
Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, this is great. So they can just pick up the DVD.
And also, they don't have to buy the whole thing. I have it set up to where if they only want one chapter of it, they can just download one small chapter of it. Like if they just want the rock beats, for instance, they can just, you know, get that, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, yes.
Thank
you.
Well, perfect, yeah. All right, well, why don't we hear, we've got one more tune that we can hear.
We do, yeah. And this, you know, I sing a little bit, so I dabble.
Oh,
so
you tell me this at the end of the interview that you sing.
Well, this will feature me on vocals. this tune is called Temptation. It's actually a Tom Waits tune.
Okay.
That, Diana Krall actually converted it into kind of a jazzier version, and then we just added horns on top of it. So this is Temptation.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much,
Mike.
It's
a pleasure.
Pleasure is all mine, really. Thanks again.
I appreciate it. Well, thanks, Gina.
You do such a good job.
Oh, thank you. And, of course, everybody, if you are enjoying what you're hearing, you can visit gkmusic.com for more details.
Can I say
drums.
One more thing?
GK Drums.
No, that's okay. I just want to say one more thing.
What am I doing?
It's so surreal to be on this program. I love the station. So thanks, thanks for having me.
There you, well, we'll have to have you back.
Okay.
And then all we'll do is talk about your vocal.
Okay.
Vocals.
All
well, right. Thanks for coming in. And we're going to take a listen to Temptation.
Correct.
By the Gina Knight Orchestra here on WDCB 90.9 FM and ChicagoJazz.com.